You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Sandra.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast. We made it, gang. It's the finale.
Holy crap. I can't decide if I love this episode or hate this episode.
I'm in the same boat.
Like, there are parts that I love and parts that I hate.
Yeah.
You know, it is one of those episodes that, because we've seen the rest of the series, maybe not some others than whatever, some more than others, we know how they feel about it afterwards, so we can feel that looming sense of dread.
Yeah.
That might be an understatement.
Yeah.
There's just a lot that happens in this episode that, because we have the power of foresight and we know what's going to happen, like, you're like, I'm so happy for them, but, or, oh, that's a bummer, but, like, there's a lot of buts in this episode, and
even one flipping someone off.
Yeah, it's an exciting one, and Sandra, I think you are going to be our final summary of the season.
Oh, yikes, I am, yes.
Okay, summary for I Can't Get Started, starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
Suki and Jackson's wedding is finally here, depressing music and all. Michelle's in charge, and he just wants to go home. At Chilton, Paris is running for class president and ropes Rory into it, and subsequently to DC. In Stars Hollow, Lorelai and Luke do not make up, but that's okay because Chris is in town and in Lorelai's bed. The two quickly fall back in love, future plans set, you know, that is, until Sherry calls to say she's pregnant. And speaking of love, Dean and Rory are good now that Jess is gone. Oh wait, who's that? That's Jess! And Rory greets him with a kiss.
Done. Wow. Whoa. Like, literally, right on the dot.
Yeah.
Yay.
Nice job.
I was so concerned. Also, admittingly, I just don't care about Rory's cast. I didn't know how to...
I mean...
That's fair.
Technically, the cast is the reason why Chris shows up back in town, but then it also seems like Chris maybe has other things on his mind.
I feel like Chris would have shown up either way.
Yeah.
Just because of how this plays out.
So I don't get a point.
No point.
Okay.
And in our bonus wrap-up episode at the end of the series here, you'll find out what that means. The point situation.
We'll find out who wins.
So we will.
We'll all find out what that means. I have a feeling that maybe I am the loser.
Ooh, I don't know. I've had some stinkers.
I don't know.
So, I don't know.
We'll see. There was one time where Emily just malfunctioned.
This is true.
So, well, we will see next week.
At the very least, I will accept my award of fastest talker.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. But guys, let's start with the episode.
La.
So we start this episode with a really brief look at a poster of Suki and Jackson. They're photoshopped into this field of flowers. She's holding a wedding cake. He has a bunch of bananas.
Yeah.
As which one does.
Implies that Jackson grows bananas, which, admittedly, I'm not a farmer, but I don't know if bananas would grow in Connecticut.
Weirdly enough. And I have no idea why this is even a thing. My dad has a banana tree by his pool.
Oh,
and this thing gets bigger every single year.
I can imagine, yeah.
But he has to cut it down every winter and, like, cover it. And I asked him at one point, I was like, hey, if you let this go, will bananas ever grow on this? And he has informed me that it would have to grow uninterrupted for at least 18 months grow bananas. So unless Jackson has a greenhouse, which I don't think he does because there's a future greenhouse debacle episode.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea why he's holding bananas. He doesn't grow bananas.
Just loves some fruit. And they're like in like a pumpkin field or something. It's very bizarre.
It's like a flower field, but it's definitely photoshopped in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Also, it's not very romantic. Like, you would think they would be facing each other or holding each other. They're just kind of standing near each other.
I mean,
yeah, Jackson's got a Hawaiian shirt on.
He's got his arm around her. She's holding a wedding cake.
Yeah. Not her wedding cake, though.
No, absolutely not her. No, this was the pre-trial, and she determined it wasn't big enough. Oh,
yeah, definitely. Also, we find out in that poster that it's May 19th, 2002. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up what date the episode was, and it was May 21st. Why not just make it the same date?
Well, I'm sure at the time of filming, they might not have had all the actual dates. Yeah.
Because I remember Gilmore Girls was on Tuesdays.
I feel like it switched to Thursdays at one point.
To Thursdays. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
If they tried and then it messed them up.
That's when it switched. Interesting, interesting.
Don't know for sure. Just a theory.
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody except for Suki seems kind of miserable during this planning session, which they're so visibly miserable.
Yeah.
And it's such a downer. And so is the song, which is the issue.
My issue with this scene is it's Suki's wedding.
Yeah.
Like,
let her have anything she wants.
Yeah. Like, if you don't listen to the lyrics, it's a beautiful song.
As someone that just went on a 5-day vacation with 8 other girls to DR, we had to be happy no matter what. Like, it's important. You want to keep the bride happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, when I was getting married and I was telling people like what our first dance was gonna be, like that song, I had so many people be like, really? That's what you're gonna choose? And eventually I just stopped telling people.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah,
it was I Choose You by Sarah Bareilles. Like, it wasn't like I was Sarah doing Bareilles. Something crazy, but like, oh, that's really upbeat. That's not really a slow dance song. I'm like, keep your opinion to yourself. It's my wedding. Let me do what I want to do.
Yeah, I will say I do have personal experience with this exact situation because my best friend did recently get married and she was going to have a walk-on song. Her husband was going to have a walk-on song. And when he initially presented his walk-on song, the lyrics were kind of a downer about things not working out the way you expect. And like he ended up picking something different, but she felt uncomfortable kind of at the thought of that.
That's a good conversation between the bride and
the
groom.
Exactly, the bride and the groom. It's not something that the entire wedding party sits around and says, ugh, such a downer.
This is after Lorelai was already, Suki, let's talk about wedding, like, bridesmaid dresses. And Lorelai's like, oh, I'm making it without your input, it sounded like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I feel like Lorelai does not fully understand that this is not her wedding.
I mean, we started the season with a wedding, or an almost wedding.
Yeah.
And we're ending the season with someone else getting married, someone close to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You gotta think, throughout this episode, I was like, do you think Lorelai is just in that wedding mood, in that, like, sappy, like, everyone's love. So in love.
Oh, totally.
I wanna be in love.
I mean, I think that plays a big role. And, like, later she tells Emily, when she's inviting Emily to the wedding, like, oh, you can see Rory and I walk down the aisle. And I'm like, well, that's not how I would pitch someone else's wedding.
But sure. Yeah.
Well, speaking of this wedding, which, by the way, we're going to say the word wedding a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Do not make a drinking game out of this episode.
Michelle's in charge. For the first time ever.
Michelle's crabby.
Well, it's because Lorelai is treating him like he is not a highly skilled customer service concierge, potentially assistant to her at this point. There's going to be 40 people at this wedding.
Oh my god, there's 40 people. Do you know how little 40 people are?
Oh, it's nothing. But she does make the point, Michelle has never ran the wedding by himself. Mm-hmm. And this is her best friend's wedding. So, like, she wants it all, I would assume she wants it all to be perfectly. So, like, to go perfectly. So, I understand her I guess being a little hesitant, maybe a little overbearing at this one situation. Also, we did say quite a bit at the beginning of the show, Michelle kind of sucked as an employee at the beginning.
That is true. That is fair. So, two people canceled. Because of this, why not Richard and Emily? And we go off to Friday night dinner. Guys, I kind of agree with Emily. This is a pity invite. Yeah.
I do too.
She doesn't even get an invitation.
There's a girl that I met through my old job, and this was like a decade ago. She got involved with a boy and basically disappeared from our friends group, which it happens. Unfortunate, but it's fine. I got her wedding invitation in the mail after not talking to her for over a year, and it was in like 2 weeks.
Oh, yikes.
And I was like, why?
Because they had cancellation.
No offense, but like, why?
Yeah.
I was a little offended. So, like, I get where Emily's coming from.
I feel like, one, only having two people not show or be unavailable is incredible. Again, 40-person guest list, it makes more sense. But at that point, just reach out to two of your guests who don't have a plus one and say, hey,
you want a plus one?
We've had a couple of cancellations. I'd love for you to be able to bring somebody. Like, we have a chair, we have food. Like, Kirk, tell Kirk to bring a plus one. You know, like.
No, Kirk wants to meet girls here.
Yes, he does. He's looking for a plus one. But yeah, Emily is disgruntled and not pleased. And it seems like she's not going to come.
What's so funny is Richard, right? Richard comes in and is like, oh, we got invited to Suki's wedding. Oh, cool. When is it? Next week? Oh, so it's pity invite.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the same boat. By the way, guys, I'm sorry. I kind of skipped ahead. We missed the biggest slogan of the show.
Oh, yes. How this Friday night dinner starts.
Yeah.
Lorelai has things to say.
Can I just say, maybe this is a hot take, but like, I don't think I ever thought Oil with the Poodles Already was especially funny.
Just kind of there.
It was quirky.
Maybe this is a hot take too, but like, I never understood why it has like the big like, it's in the fact? Gigi slogan. Like, I don't, it's a one-liner.
It almost gives me, and this is like, this makes me cringe down to my very soul because I grew up at just the wrong time. Like that like random period of the 2000s where it was like cool to be like funky and name things Bob. And I mean, I fell prey to it. I had a spork that I drew a face on and I called it Billy, and I like brought it around places and it was like, oh my gosh, this is Billy the Spork. That's what Oi with the Poodles Already gives me. It gives me that like, I'm so random cringe.
No, I'm sorry, we cannot just walk past that. Just had a
and I had a YouTube channel back then.
I need to know how old were you?
I mean, I was in like middle school,
so I mean that's like prime,
maybe late
time.
High school. Absolutely. I had a semi-successful YouTube channel, and I definitely uploaded a video about Billy the Spork at one point, and it was everything you think it was, and no, you will never see it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you
amazing.
Sure?
Yeah. Maybe if we start making $1,000 a month, I'll give it to a Patreon viewer.
That would be nice.
Oi with the Poodles Already. I think that they needed something.
Yeah.
Right? So they kind of manufactured it into it. Whatever. Anyways, moving on. Sorry. Guys, is it just me or there's no fallout from the grad episode?
No.
Like, Rory's supposed to be grounded for life.
So, I mean, the wedding's May 19th, so I assume this is not a very long time since the graduation. That has to be, like, what, a week or two?
Yeah.
Like,
nothing. As far as I know, she's not even grounded.
No, she's hanging out with her boyfriend at Luke's while Lorelai paces like a wild animal outside of a door. Because Lorelai and Luke still aren't good. Like, this has been a kind of ongoing long-term fight for them.
And let's go back to the day after this happened, Lorelai acted like she was going to walk into Luke's like nothing happened.
Yeah, let's talk about Rory and Dean. Guys, you know what's shitty? Dean was really good in this episode.
He was. I felt like they were very cute.
Yeah. Right? yeah, I feel like, I don't know, Dean usually comes off the wrong way, and he didn't in this episode. Mm-hmm. Not that I feel terribly bad, but I understand he is wronged in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're trying to show, like, okay, Rory and Dean are good. They're back to pre-Jess good.
I mean, we even have another character say that. We have another character say, they're doing good. Like,
leave them alone. Leave her alone.
And yet.
And yet. And then on the opposite side, Luke and Lorelai, like you said, are not doing good.
No.
Mm-mm. Although, Luke is playing it off, like, a little passive-aggressively, I would say.
Yeah.
but at the same time, this is how people act when you hurt them. Right? Yeah. And sometimes you cut people out of your life and you have to for your own safety. I'm not saying that Luke necessarily needed to cut Lorelai out because at the end of the day, you know, they have feelings for each other, but Luke got really majorly hurt here.
Yeah.
And Lorelai apparently wrote a note. When? I don't know.
Yeah. I think that, like, Lorelai was the one in the wrong, and yes, she apologized, but the issue here is even when you apologize, it doesn't mean that the other person has to accept your apology. It doesn't mean that they have to go back to normal. Like, you did the bad thing, you did what you could to apologize, and then they have the right to do whatever they want. If they never want to speak to you again, they don't owe you anything.
That's their right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, was this feels like Luke's like, I got your apology. I saw the letter. I just don't accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's totally fine. And Lorelai just kind of has like a little tantrum about, I want Luke. Well, you had him and then you were awful to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Luke is handling this very well because I'm sure the note was wonderfully written, especially coming from Lorelai or Rory. You know, I'm sure they helped each other write it or helped Lorelai write it. But Jess left and Lorelai shows up and berates him, berates Luke, acts like Jess has no history at all, that he's just a normal kid. Like, this whole accident was his fault. Like, Lorelai, you took a kid who has literally no support and let him just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously it's not Lorelai's fault that he left, but, like, she has no regard at all for the trauma that Jess has clearly lived through, and no regard for the fact that she's probably a contributing factor to the fact that he went back.
Yeah.
To that.
And no regard to his life. Like, she didn't care that he was in an accident.
Mm-mm. Absolutely
not. He could have died, and she would have been like, Rory got her wrist broken.
Yeah.
Like, she was not... I believe Luke here. I'm Team Luke.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is a Team Luke moment.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is not a bad Lorelai episode. Like, this is not a great moment, but it does not color the way that I feel about Lorelai in this episode.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't throw a pie at her.
Yeah.
I already threw the pie at her.
Well, let's jump to our B plot.
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of like even a C plot at this point. Like, it's so...
Well, it comes
jarring
in,
how out of place it is.
It comes in second, right? So we start with wedding, and then we jump to, surprise, it's time to pick our president of Chilton's student body.
Not even that, but like, surprise, we're at Chilton and Paris is giving a super aggressive speech to be president.
Yes.
She was like straight up Leslie Knope.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, I love it too, but it's a high school.
Paris is running for president, and the issue is that while Paris is very academically talented, she is very well spoken, she is not likable. People are scared of her. People don't like her. And unfortunately, regardless of what you're running for in high school, middle school, popularity plays a huge part of it.
Yeah. So Rory's writing the article, right? But Paris is the editor of the paper, right? Do you think she chose Rory?
I was wondering that.
She had to, right?
So the student paper is, like, supervised by a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I have a feeling if the teacher assigned Rory because Paris was running and was like, you have a conflict of interest, you're going to be like out of the flow of the coverage of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when Rory says like you'll read it in the paper like everybody else, I was like, but she's the editor. Like she should see this before.
Final product, yeah.
Yeah. When I was on the student paper, like the student editors were the ones who assigned the stories. You know, we all pitched mm-hmm. them together, but then the editors would go like in a back room and work for an hour and assign all the stories. So I can also totally see Paris being like, nope, I want Rory to write my piece. I want yeah. it to be the best piece.
I mean, theoretically, like if picking between Madeline, Louise, and Rory, who would you want writing? Right? So.
Yeah. Although in this scene, Madeline and Louise show that they are smart girls
helping.
Who can do mm-hmm. good survey work. They can, you know.
Loyal as hell.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which, like, they're so on and off. I never know when we see Madeline and Louise. Are they going to be snarkily being kind of rude to Paris? Are they going to be super supportive of Paris? Today, we're supportive.
Yes.
So one thing that I'm going to mention from the scene that I thought was inappropriate or weird is the Basic Instinct reference that theoretically a 16, 17-year-old did. I don't believe Paris, like that is a grown-up talking in a teenager. Like, that is a writer saying that, so Paris says it. I don't think a 17-year-old would make that reference like that. Like, I don't know. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, these are, like, simultaneously very realistic teenagers and also the least realistic teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gave me Dawson's Creek vibes where, like...
I mean, I can also see, like as a teenager, wanting to see all these adult movies that, you know, technically your parents probably don't want you to watch. Paris does not seem like one of those people.
Well, I'm sure maybe Paris's nanny would get on her about mm-hmm. what she's allowed to watch, but I have a feeling Paris can watch whatever she wants to watch. Anyway, yeah. Paris is trying to come up with a reason or a way that she can beat the odds even though she's unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes, aha, the answer is sitting right in front of me.
I have a question for you guys.
It's Rory Gilmore.
Do you think Rory was already on Obviously. Her mind as her running mate? Because she gets there very quickly.
I mean...
I think Harvard was the pull.
No, yeah. I mean, like, do you think that Paris good? Already had Rory as a potential running mate in mind?
In mind.
Oh, Paris I understand
like,
now.
So calculated that I'm sure that she went through an entire list of the student body and looked at, like, mm-hmm. people's GPAs and was like, okay, these 10 people are potential.
That's
and
what
I'm
I
sure
was
Rory's
thinking,
in
yeah.
that list.
I just see, like, a computer screen in front of her eyes.
Matrix code.
And, like, going through all the list of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she essentially strong-arms Rory into it with Harvard. Like, mm-hmm. what happens if you don't get into Harvard and you realize, like, this is the one thing that could have tipped the scales? And sweet, innocent, naive baby Rory is, like, still on that Harvard train in her brain.
I agree with Paris, though. I feel like Rory should have already yeah. had that in her head that, oh, you're right, this would look great.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since she had the whole freak out of not having extracurriculars.
Exactly. Why isn't she involved yeah. in everything after that? Whatever.
Well, Rory's getting her cast removed. And guys, I have a problem with the scene. I'm sorry I'm bringing up problems. It's just my mind.
It's what you
the
guys
outside...
listen for. It's what you're here for. If you've stuck around, you know we like to bring up problems.
The outside of the building says Dr. Ronald Sue,
mm-hmm.
S-U-E. Now, the doctor is Chinese, and later on, the captions yep. spell it T-S-U, which would be more
Sue.
Likely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, what's going on there?
That seems like a miscommunication with the props department. Yeah.
Definitely. They definitely just said, it's Dr. Sue, and they were like, oh, yeah. Sue? Like, Susan?
They were like, ah, oh, you know, she's so quirky. Of course it'd be Dr. Sue. No, it's Dr. Sue. No.
Yes. Who is an Asian man. Like
my problem with the scene is Christopher
yes.
and the continuing harassment of medical personnel in this show.
Oh yeah, that's a bigger problem.
Oh my God. Yeah, I feel
I have the
like
same thing.
That's supposed to be like a callback, you know, to like Lorelai. Like, oh, look at Rory's parents are so meant for each other. They do the same thing. The same terrible thing that,
right,
is not cool.
Being rude to medical staff. Yay. Mm-hmm. Just, you're so what? Cool.
Like, you're in a doctor's office. And I would bet a small one at that. There's probably four rooms.
Yeah. But they're both like, well, Dad? Christopher? Like, this is the best thing that's ever happened.
Here? And he's like, yeah, I told you I would be here. And they're still right? Like, well, yeah, but, like, it's you.
Yeah. So he comes in like, I'm the father. Like, no, you could just say, this, I'm Christopher. Like, hello. But she's getting her cast off. So yes. Long cast, we barely knew you. You were covered in stickers.
And bye.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
And now Christopher is here. And since he's here, hey, there's a rehearsal dinner on Thursday. Why don't you come to it? And guys, I have such a problem with that. I'm currently helping my best friend plan her rehearsal dinner. And we have everything very organized. There are certain people that can come, who's coming, if they get a plus one, if they don't.
Yeah.
This is just a party?
Yeah, this is definitely a more laid-back rehearsal dinner, which I think, honestly, after, you know, having been to multiple rehearsals, etc., I think that I would like something like this. It's like a house party. It's a kind of a nice way to blow off steam before the wedding. Of course, it does seem like quite an undertaking, and they're obviously up fairly late, a couple days before the wedding, but I think it looks like fun, but I totally understand. Just inviting random people? Weird.
I get that's not great in normal setting, but I think because of the informality of this party, of being some kind of, like, I'm assuming random buffet style at her house, one extra person from the maid of honor, not to go
against my own point, but, like, she is the maid of honor slash best friend slash she's, you know, the wedding organizer. So the other thing that's discussed here is the fact that Rory doesn't really know if she wants to win, because if she does win, she has to spend 6 weeks in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Which they just call Washington repeatedly. And, like, I'm from Washington. There's no reason you would come out to Washington for a student leadership thing. I mean, maybe, but yeah.
Granted, okay. I'm from the Midwest, but we always called it D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's D.C.
Like,
to me.
So you wouldn't. So you wouldn't get confused as to which Washington you're talking about.
And when I refer to Washington State, I say state.
Mm. Yeah.
Washington State.
I say Washington, like, you know, Seattle. Because, you know.
Our big city.
I actually was invited to a leadership conference when I was a kid to go to D.C. It was like $800 for like a week.
Oh, gosh.
And also you were paired with random people. I said no.
Yeah, my brother did one of those, like, Washington, D.C. leadership things. He was pretty young at the time. He was either late elementary school or early middle school. And, like, we made a family trip of it, and we all went. Mm-hmm. We dropped him at the program, and then the three of us, like, toured D.C. But, I mean, I know that it definitely wasn't, like, inexpensive. And I also don't think he really got anything out of it. Like, if I sat him down and was like, hey, bro, how did your leadership conference impact your current life? Did not. Might be different for high school, especially senior year high school students. But yeah, there's a potential that she could be going to Washington, big air quotes. And she's not sure about that because summer. She's got a boyfriend. Yeah.
Also, this is her second summer in a row that she would be doing something, right?
Yeah.
What was she doing last time that Dean got so upset about? I totally forgot.
She did. Summer school. She built a house for a day in summer school. Like, I don't even think it was it wasn't as much as this.
Yeah.
Well, we go on to the rehearsal dinner, and there's a little bit of comedy here. Miss Patty setting up this wonderful toast.
Kirk I think that she misunderstands Kirk's glass because dinging
Kirk
as a toast.
Comes in, he dings, he's like, ladies, gentlemen, honored guests, like, makes you believe he's gonna make some wonderful toast. There's a silver Volvo blocking me in. Somebody. Like, it's such a Kirk moment, and I love it.
Do you think Kirk is trolling? Like, there's two times in this episode that he does something similar to this.
I think this is just Kirk being genuinely Kirk.
Yeah.
This is the man who made a film by Kirk.
I am convinced that Kirk cannot read social cues, so this would be pure Kirk.
And of course, the Volvo is Chris's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, obviously. And of course, he doesn't move it right away, because why would he?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even, like, he doesn't move it, because they go outside to sit on the steps.
Well, and Lorelai even says, oh, wait 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know you guys said this wasn't, like, a bad Lorelai episode or anything, but for me, this is kind of, like, a not great Lorelai. Like, I don't want to pie her in the face or anything, but this is not shining Lorelai in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, she has some controversial...
Lorelai's in love in this episode.
Ugh, I hate
But, like, not even love, but, like, infatuation. Like, she it's is very... deeply, like, starry-eyed.
Yeah.
I think she loves the idea of her and Chris together.
And, like, honestly, that's if fair. Chris would have been there, they would have made a good couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the worst part, is they're very cute together. Mm-hmm. They're, like, the same age. They look nice.
Yeah.
Like, physically, yeah. They're a good-looking couple. But, like, Christopher.
Yeah. And, well, besides, obviously, there's a lot of progress with Lorelai and Christopher in this scene. There's also, of course, some Suki and Jackson action, because it is their rehearsal. Apparently, we learned two things. One, Jackson's father is his best man, which I think is always an interesting move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who else would it be? Rune? Like, truly, could have been so much worse.
No, it should have been. It should have been Nick Offerman.
Oh, yeah.
His name,
oh,
right. I don't remember. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It should have been.
I love Nick.
Bo, right?
It was Bo, yeah.
Okay.
It should have been Bo. We don't know Bo yet, but still.
The other thing we learn is that Jackson's father has presented him with a kilt, which is apparently a tradition of the men in his family, that they get married in kilts, which you would think he would know.
I have so many issues.
Before?
Is he Scottish?
So many issues.
What's his last name?
Jackson Belleville.
Belleville. Maybe. I mean, you would have to be. Okay, let me correct that. You would have to be at least a little bit Scottish to be expected by your family to wear a kilt at your wedding. French.
It's French.
Well, oh, well, duh. I should have
thought
Belleville.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That actually
Oops.
Immediately made sense.
That high school French fails me again. But yeah, no, this is a wild thing to spring on somebody at the rehearsal dinner, especially somebody
night before
who you, well, it seems like it's a couple,
maybe two nights
before, yeah.
But like, he's the best man. So he must have been at least a little bit involved in the planning of this wedding. A little bit.
Like, doesn't, when Jackson shows up at Lorelai's graduation, doesn't he say like, I got this suit for the wedding?
Yep. He got that nice new yeah. suit.
Is he wearing that?
I think he's wearing it for the rehearsal. So maybe he got it for the rehearsal. And it looks great. He looks great.
Yeah, he looks great.
I don't care how laid back your wedding is. In what world do you spring an outfit change on the groom 2 to 3 days previous? Like, 2 to 3 days before the ceremony. And God love Suki.
Right?
Being like the chillest bride.
I was about to say, I love Suki in this moment, because she's just like, well, it's for your dad. Like, let's do it, even though it's her wedding.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I understand, like, this is bigger than me.
If my husband sprung this on me 2 to 3 days before the wedding, I would be like, who's paying for your tux costs?
Yeah.
Ooh, good point.
And we learn one more thing, which is that Suki doesn't let Jackson wear shorts outside of the house, because they cut him weird. Well,
I have no comment on that.
Yeah, no, it was just
I don't even know.
Such a funny moment, because that's not the way that I picture their relationship, because he's the picture pajama man. But anyway, moving
no,
on.
No, I have a feeling it's not like a you can't leave the house wearing that. I have a feeling like he puts them on and she just gives him the look and he's like, what? And she's like, well. And he's like, fine. And just, you know, storms back and changes. And there's not an actual conversation.
Yeah.
So, guys, I have. I'm a negative Nancy this episode. I'm sorry. I have another moment that I dislike from this episode, from this scene. And it's very specifically when Lorelai says, ooh, bossy. I like that.
Hate that. I hate that so much.
Cringe. Cringe.
I really don't love that. And it's supposed to be like a sexy little
cute
line.
And fun.
Which, if I was watching for the first time, I'd be like, get it, girl. Chris is cute. But... because I know what is to come in literally minutes, I have to say cringe. because we learn that they're not doing well. Chris and Sherry are on the rocks, mm-hmm. not really
well,
together.
Well, she left town.
She left.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a big conversation when she comes back, implying that, you know, and he's saying, like, I'm going to get an apartment, implying they're breaking up.
Yes. Well, also right? implying that they are going to break up.
Yes.
Which makes what happens in this episode feel really sketchy.
So, and I have to say, way in the future, when we have a virginity loss moment, mm-hmm. and Rory says, like, it's the same thing as what happened with you and Dad. And every time I saw that, I was like, no, it's not the same thing. And then I'm watching this episode, and I'm like, no, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, these people are in a committed relationship, and he's like, it's not working out. Let's sleep together.
It's no big deal. yeah, I agree. I've never thought of Lorelai as the other woman. And now watching it, I'm like, oh, her and Rory are more alike than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely gray area. I think we can all agree mm-hmm. this is a super gray area. But I also think, especially based on what happens in this episode, like, if Chris went home and told Sherry about what happened, Sherry would be pretty upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I guess in Chris's situation, as far as we know, him and Sherry have had the conversation of, this isn't going well. Let's take this time apart, assess our options, and go from there when I get back.
And
like, there have been discussions about it. It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say Dean lied to Rory.
Yeah. Dean was clearly not having those conversations.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that in
when we get there.
but for now, Chris and Sherry are basically over.
The next day, Lorelai is, like, gleeful about this information.
Yeah.
She's super excited to share the hot goss, as my boyfriend and I call it.
Before we get into this, can we, and I'm sure this where there will be a conversation later. What
pajamas.
Is she wearing?
Pajamas. They are pajamas.
Are those bottoms pajamas? The top is clearly pajamas.
I'm just calling
are
it
the
pajamas
bottom?
Because otherwise I would, like, have a conniption. I was just like, nope, pajamas. It's clearly
one
a flannel
notes,
pajama top and, like, some stretchy PJ pants.
One of my notes for this episode is there's so much blue.
Yeah.
Like, it feels
yes.
like
an obscene
everyone
amount
is
of blue.
Wearing blue. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I also thought, hey, that top looks like something.
Yeah.
It looks like a Mario air level.
So I'll say it now because I want to focus on the wedding fashion when we get to fashion. She is wearing a flannel blue pajama top that is covered with cartoon depictions of different drinks. So there is a sidecar.
Oh, that's
and
what
it's
those
a sidecar.
Okay.
There's a martini and it's a martini glass. It goes into that thing I've said before. These girls own, like, an absurd amount of flannel full pajamas.
Yeah.
And apparently she's just not wearing the pajama bottoms. It's a vibe.
See, I thought this was Mario and, like, the flower that comes up out of the
absolutely
tube,
it's the right color
and
scheme.
He's jumping on clouds.
I thought those were cherries.
Honestly, the martini glass is the only thing that made me realize what it was.
You're right. Good recognition there, because I did not get that.
Yeah, but this
well,
is
regardless,
a, this is a weird moment, because Rory is fully dressed in her uniform. Lorelai's coming down the stairs in her PJs after sleeping in because she was out late cleaning up with Suki. She shares the news about Sherry and Chris, but not before.
Well, there's a phone call.
Yes. Yes.
I know something you don't know.
Yes.
Not before
but
her
there's
conscience.
There's a phone call that interrupts, because
uh-huh.
Paris is super depressed. Like, she thinks she's going to lose. She's already written her concession speech. She's, like, she is at a very low level. And I actually really feel for Paris in this moment, because
mm-hmm.
Paris ends up okay,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like, yeah.
Even in the thing that we don't talk about, she ends up okay.
Yeah.
But her journey towards Harvard is so depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she tries so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't get it.
Well, I think that...
And I just...
Paris and Rory are really interesting foils of each other, because you have Rory, who has everybody telling her, you're perfect, you're wonderful, you can do everything, you can have everything. And then you have Paris, mm-hmm. who tells herself those things. Her parents aren't there cheering her on. You know, she maybe has Nanny to be there to support her. And it's so interesting to see their different experiences, because you have this girl who has everything given to her, and look where mm-hmm. she ends up. And then you have Paris, who is fighting for everything.
And look where she ends up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a short little interlude, and then we go right back into the hot gossip. And Rory immediately picks up on Lorelai's mood.
Mm-hmm.
Lorelai is too happy about
this. You're gleeful.
Yeah.
And, like, she calls her out on it. I'm kind of glad she did.
Yeah.
It's so weird, because if you think about the trajectory of Chris and Lore in this season, you start with, like, kind of together, and then Sherry, and then there's the whole, I've moved on, thanks to you, moving on, and then they get in that weird mm-hmm. fight,
mm-hmm.
and then the fight's over, and now she's instantly ready to get back with him? Connect the dots.
I guess because I'm going to say Chris started showing up consistently when Rory got her cast on.
Yes.
Would that be accurate? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say this has probably been about 4 to 6 weeks of Chris fulfilling what he said he's going to do, and showing up and being a dad, and being the dad that Lorelai always wanted him to be.
I mean, he's kind of love bombing, which is not a good thing. Yeah. But when you're so starved for it, like they are, mm-hmm. it feels like a good thing.
So I watch these episodes sometimes with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is actually really sympathetic to Lorelai and Chris, right? I don't think she has as strong of feelings towards Chris as we do.
Who does?
And that might... not that she, like, wants Chris and Lorelai together. Like, she likes Luke and Lorelai. But what she always comes up with is, it's your first love.
Yeah.
Right?
I fully agree with that, 100%. Yeah.
It's your first love, and sometimes you just do stupid things. And that love just kind of never goes away. So, like, there is that aspect.
I agree with her. My personal experience and what I've seen some people around me go through, like, my first love, we ended up dating again a couple years later before I realized, like, oh, you're not the person I've envisioned to be this magical thing in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I needed that to, like, fully get over him. My brother with his first love essentially did the exact same thing. So, like, I can totally see, because especially knowing where this ultimately ends up.
Yeah, the issue is with Lorelai.
I can see that.
She continues to get clear signals, hey, he's not the person that you're thinking of in your head, and she ignores them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's almost like you can give her, or like she can justify it, because she's never had the actual try.
Yeah.
She's mm-hmm. only ever had the attempt to try.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So until she actually tries, and unfortunately, when that happens, it caused some people to stop watching the show. So there's that.
Yeah, truly the worst possible outcome.
To stop watching the show.
But we move on to the night before, and Michelle's overworked. He's been there for 6 hours longer, which means he probably got there at 9.
14? I'm saying that's a 14-hour shift.
Right?
That's
assuming he does 8-hour days.
Yeah, and Lorelai's just being a pain in the ass. I'm sorry, but she is.
Lorelai's trolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Lorelai's behavior towards Michelle continues to be unacceptable. I would file a harassment claim against her if she was my boss and I was Michelle. But she's very busy with all of these flowers.
So many flowers.
There's like too many flowers. And then she goes to change. You know, she sends Suki on her way. She goes to change.
Mm-hmm.
And we see her.
Suki, who is completely calm.
Yeah. Suki is doing great.
Fully
she's
prepared.
Gonna
she's,
go home and
she's
rest.
She's good.
She's chill. Lorelai goes off to continue decorating.
She's tying flowers on the light fixtures.
Yeah, there's pillows with Suki and Jackson's face on it.
Oh my gosh, I totally miss those.
They're not even going to be inside. They're outside.
Well, I mean,
what?
They'll probably use the inn for like a cocktail hour kind of thing.
I guess.
I mean,
see the reception. So can I can only assume
The pillows are on the couch.
So there's like a really weird juxtaposition with the decor of this wedding, where we have all of these beautiful mixed flowers, you know, and like these peach and pink ribbons. The bridesmaid dresses are somehow like a deep teal. And then they have these, the officiant is wearing a shirt with Suki and Jackson on it, and he's wearing purple and white. The pillows are purple and white. Yeah. What are the wedding colors?
I thought the colors were purple and white because the bridge that they go is also purple and white.
But then they have all of these peach and pink ribbons.
The very first opening scene of this episode, Emily helped me settle on pink for the wedding.
Yep.
Because she was going to do yellow, and that was unacceptable.
And then also, usually your wedding color coincides with your bridesmaid dresses. Like, that's a
I have a question
easy
for you.
Way to tie the color in.
We might need to do a comparison here. Mm-hmm. This color is very, very close to Rory's dance dress. Do you think it's...
Oh, interesting.
Do you guys think it's the same fabric?
Oh, like because Lorelai made both of them?
Uh-huh.
That would be so rude of Lorelai.
Right? That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, wow, that's really cheap.
I don't disagree with you at all. But I was looking at their dresses, and I was like, wow, that's actually... And I'd have to go back and look. I haven't watched that episode in a bit, but it's close. And my head is very
different.
Close.
Okay.
Sure.
It is
Hers
different.
Hers is more
okay.
of a, like a periwinkle. There's more of a purple undertone, where this is more of a green undertone. But that was a good catch, and that would have been, like, so terrible of Lorelai to be like, one, I'm making the bridesmaid dresses. Two, I'm picking the color of the dresses. Okay.
Well, anyways, going back to the episode, Lorelai is decorating, and who walks down the stairs but Prince Charming himself, Christopher.
Why is Chris staying at the inn?
I fully believe that, Lorelai's going to be at the inn late decorating. I'm going to get a room.
It could possibly be that everyone from the wedding is staying there, like the night before.
But, I mean,
and
exactly.
So they wake up
everyone at the wedding is staying there. How is there an available room?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair. Also, are there no other guests, like, at this place? Because, like...
Apparently...
I'm going to assume
late.
This is, like, midnight or 1 a.m. and everybody else is in bed.
Anyway.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to close the inn.
Yeah, I mean, for, like, this private event, totally. Yeah. Anyway, they end up kissing. They're being very
they
flirty.
Full-on making
they
out.
They make out.
So funny. Because we're going to spend, like, 20 minutes on a different kiss, and this one is just, like, they kiss.
They kiss. They have sex. I mean, it's, like...
They do.
It's one of the strongest implications of, we had sex, because she goes and tells everybody about it. I think the more important thing is what happens after they have sex, which is not the conversation they have, but that Suki's having some wedding... pre-wedding panic.
I want to back up just a little bit on the pre them doing the dirty conversation. I do appreciate Lorelai telling Chris, like, if we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this.
Yeah,
like, there's no ins and outs, there's no, like,
yeah, we're finally in the same
place.
It's
a commitment.
Yeah. Yeah, she's saying, like, this is not a booty call, this is not a you showing up when you want and leaving, like, this is it. If you're
and
doing
he
this.
He agrees.
Yep. Doesn't have a problem with that.
And he says yes.
Yes. Yes, he does.
But yes, Suki's going through it. She's in her wedding dress and with an apron on. She's
looking gorgeous.
Sorry. She does look gorgeous. She's kind of destroying her cake, but not too much, thankfully. She's just freaking out.
Yes. And we will talk all about her dress in fashion, so let's not get into it, but...
How she does not have, like, a full body apron on over this dress, I will never know.
I mean, the sleeves would be the issue for me. She'd be dragging them through the buttercream. No, she is, like, she had a bad dream that there was something wrong with her dress. Maybe there was something wrong with her veil, so she had to get her veil on, her dress on. Apparently, she also did full hair and makeup, because she looks incredible.
She does.
But she's panicking.
Guys, I've been helping my friend. We talk about weddings where my best friend's getting married, and we were looking at cakes. Mm-hmm. A small cake is like $500 to $800. That cake is not for 40 people.
No.
No, that cake's for like 500 people.
That's the funny thing. A Costco sheet cake feeds like around 40 people. So that's about as much cake as you need for a wedding this size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact that Suki is not doing styrofoam layers. You know, like sometimes cake decorators will do like styrofoam layers of cake so that it looks really nice and then they have like a sheet cake off to the side. This is all cake.
Yeah.
Suki takes no shortcuts.
So I'm going to let you guys know, I had a three-tiered cake at my wedding for 200 people. This is a five? I mean, that bottom tier is also like a gigantic.
Huge cake. Yeah.
Is half a tier. So a 5.5-tier cake for 40 people.
40.
I mean.
And I took a crap ton home.
They're going to be feeding the whole town with everything from this wedding for like weeks.
I mean, you want to talk about daisies getting passed out to the town, 1,000 yellow daisies. Like, this is the entire town supply of cake for the year.
Yeah. But so Suki is
well,
just.
You save the top half, right?
You save like part of it. Tier. Yeah.
Supposedly, yes.
Or you cut the top tier. It's different for different people. But Suki is just, she's worried. She doesn't want to get divorced. She wants this to work out. Like, it's all of the pre-wedding jitters that apparently she's been able to ignore up until this moment. And she really wants something to distract her. And boy, does Lorelai have a fun one.
Right? I slept with Chris.
Yeah, and Suki...
As she smiles and giggles and eats icing.
Suki is, like, a great friend in this moment, in that she is excited for Lorelai. She's going off of Lorelai's energy.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that there had been a little bit more, are we really sure about this? But Suki's not in that headspace.
No, I mean, honestly, Suki should be focusing on herself right now.
Yeah.
And forget Lorelai.
I could see Suki, if she were to go into that headspace, that would just start feeding on her own insecurity.
It would be very excited. Mr. Big and Miranda at the rehearsal.
Mr. Big and Miranda? Did I miss that?
If you know, you know.
And yeah. Harry.
No, Mr. Big and Miranda have a conversation at like their rehearsal dinner that leads him to not show up for the wedding.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Oh my, I haven't watched that in years. Yeah. You're totally right.
No, just, it would put her in the wrong headspace.
Guys, Lorelai telling Suki she looks beautiful always touches me.
Yes.
Like, that is such a sweet moment.
The perfect ending to this conversation.
Mm-hmm. I love this so much.
Because, like, I feel like weddings go so fast that you really need to, like, stop the bride and groom a couple of times and be like, just stop, just take it in.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And Lorelai grabs her snacks, goes upstairs and finds Chris again. And they start talking about the future. Chris wants to redo what they just did. And there is a question of like right now or in general. And in general is what's brought up.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a future with her, right? And it's about Rory. Like, how are we going to tell Rory? Like, what about Sherry? Who is still your girlfriend?
Yep.
Right. A lot of cheating happens this episode.
Yeah.
But they could be something. A family. Mom and dad. Together.
In the silver Volvo.
Which is like, in her heart of hearts, that's what Lorelai wants.
At this point, that's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Even
minus
to his
Luke,
credit.
I guess.
Chris. Like, Chris wants that. Mm-hmm. He's got some things that are should be getting in the way of that, but he wants that.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you were a viewer watching this live, and like, the triangle has been, you know, Luke, Lorelai, and Chris. And Chris gets chosen. I'm sure, like, they'll two seasons of Chris, and then they'll get a divorce. So something will happen, and she'll get with Luke, or something like that. But, like, that's not what happens. You get it for 5 minutes, and then get slapped in the face.
I remember watching this the first time and being super excited for Lorelai and being absolutely heartbroken at the end of the episode.
Yes.
Like, as a teenager, I loved Chris. I thought he was great. And I was so sad.
Well, let's pop over to our other man, or should I say men? So we jump over to Luke's, where Kirk is apparently getting a pre-wedding sandwich.
And he only has 10 minutes.
I'm telling you, he's trolling. Because,
I mean, I don't think so. I think he's just a weirdo who wants a sandwich. But, okay.
But then he says, I want a peanut butter and jelly to go.
Yeah, he asks about, like, two different types of sandwiches, and Luke's like, I'm losing patience, and he's like, peanut butter and jelly to go. That wasn't even mentioned. That wasn't one of the options.
No, he just, I think he realized he had talked too long. He had wasted too much time.
he bothered Luke too much.
Yeah.
I think he looks nice. Handsome.
Yeah.
He does look very nice.
He has a little pink shirt.
I'm not usually a fan of, like, a brown suit, but it looks fine.
Yeah, everyone
on him
has a tan thing going on this episode. So Luke goes upstairs, and we get kind of a jump scare.
Can we mention why Luke goes upstairs?
I thought it was to get rid of Kirk.
Kirk said he's looking for a woman. Not even Animal Planet does it for him anymore.
Yes.
And Luke's like, I'm out.
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know how to take that. And so I say we should just move past it.
Move on? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes.
It happened.
He That's goes all upstairs. I And we get a jump scare in the form of Jess
We
Mariano.
Love a Jess jump scare. This is our second.
But Luke doesn't jump scare. He just, oh, you're here.
He rolls with it.
I would have totally jumped.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? If I saw someone in my apartment where you can see physically the entrance to, how did Jess get in here?
He's
a freaking ninja.
Of all the things for Luke to just move past.
Right? But, so Luke is a little bit angry. Maybe hurt is the right word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He called Jess 6 times and Jess never responded. He never got an update to know that he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And
I took it as he at least talked to Liz.
Yeah.
That, yes, he is there. But, yeah, Luke's definitely hurt that Jess just basically blew off everything that Luke did for him.
And Jess has an attitude, even now.
It's like a toned down attitude.
Yes.
He doesn't want to explain himself for why. But he does want to come back, and he wants Luke to know that he wants to come back.
And I might be being a little too sympathetic towards Jess, but it kind of seems like you know when you want to ask someone something, but you don't want to tell them you're vulnerable? You don't want to show that?
Yeah.
So he puts up a front. Kind of seems like that.
That's what this feels like to me.
He doesn't want to say, hey, it sucks having to eat at the hot dog stand every day, and hey, it's really weird being back home with my mom and maybe not being in school and not having any friends. Like, there's a lot of things
not
that
having anybody in my life that actually cares about me.
Yeah.
So that was gonna be my question, guys. Do you think Jess's main motivation was Rory, or was it a combination of Rory and Luke and the situation of, like, having a stable bed and, like, knowing where you're going to sleep tonight, and having food, and working. Like, I think it's everything.
Yeah, I'd like to give him the credit and say it's both. I think Rory's visit helped him realize, like, she's not mad at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was a big part of why he decided to leave, was like, I did this, I need to go, I don't need to be in her life, and
she's going to hate me.
Now he found out, no, we're kind of okay. We're actually pretty good. And also, I had a really good thing with Luke.
Mm-hmm.
What I loved about Luke is he goes on this rant. He's like, people called me insane. They told me not to do it. And I did it anyways. And guess what? You proved them right, right? And Jess is just like, so you never packed up any of my things.
Yeah.
Deflection.
But I mean, that's like, that's classic Luke. He still lives and works in his father's store. The people who he loved, the people he cares about, he can't bear to part with their possessions.
Yeah. Well, Luke says yes to Jess, but he does tell him things are going to have to be different.
Yes, with some stipulations.
And then what I loved was Jess says, because Luke says, I need to go back to the diner, Jess says, I will help you close up tonight.
He volunteers
unprompted,
to work.
Yeah.
I love that line.
That's like,
so we are,
it's like Jess saying, I love you. You know, it's like,
right?
Yeah. It's truly, it's as best he can do for now.
It's literally Jess saying, I'm going to help you out as well. I'm going to think of somebody other than myself. Which, as much as we all love Jess, we haven't actually seen him do that a whole lot.
No, definitely not.
No.
And before Jess can leave, Luke stops him and says, "She's not home. Don't go looking for her. She's still with Dean, and they are good.
Leave her alone."
He says that she's at the wedding, right?
He does.
Which, I mean, Luke, if you were really trying to keep them apart, leave that little snippet out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to his credit, Luke does try. Luke says, "Leave her alone."
Mm-hmm.
Does he leave her alone?
So, Jess is back.
Jess is back. And seemingly, it looks like for good. At least for now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's finally the day of the wedding, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we move on. And Michelle's still in charge.
Yep.
Which I love.
Yep.
Okay, so Rory says that people haven't been drinking yet, but that's a lie.
First of all, don't they all have drinks in hand?
Yeah. Well, maybe
they are all drunk.
Specifically, Patty and Babette have been too busy singing, okay, and they haven't had a chance to drink yet.
These colors are purple and white.
But there's also peach ribbons hanging from some of the flowers. Like,
it's clearly leftover decoration from the twins' wedding in season
one. And there's white ribbons. It's just a real mishmash of colors.
Look at Dean. But he looks so handsome.
Can we talk about Kirk's singing voice? Kirk has a really good singing voice.
Yeah. But this little Dean and Rory moment just goes to show they are doing good. They look very happy together. They're having fun. Dean is being, let's say, an incredibly good sport about everybody joking about him being sexually harassed.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll have to hide you later.
Yeah. Twice.
Twice. Two different people. I mean, two different people who essentially share the same, like, brain cells. But he does get a call.
He does. And he has a cell phone. And it kind of goes back to that Dean's an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory's a kid moment, because Rory doesn't have a cell phone, but Lorelai does, the adult, and now so does Dean.
And so does Paris, apparently, because it's Paris calling.
So, real quick on that, and maybe I'm remembering wrong, when we have that Oasis watering the lawn episode, the new neighbor moves mm-hmm. in, and Rory can't get the spigot off.
It's a beeper.
She says, "Damn you and your Unabomber tendencies," about Dean. Because he has a beeper and not a cell phone.
Interesting.
I could be wrong. It could just be that he doesn't answer. But I thought it was because he had a beeper.
And Jess also is, like, anti-cell phone.
Just something to watch out for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways. Yes, she gets a... Well, he gets a call from Paris for Rory. And it's because...
I also want to know how Paris got his phone number.
Well,
I
same,
do want to know that.
But... She is extremely excited because, guys, they got the band. And if anyone was going to be scared of Paris, it's going to be the band. She doesn't say it that way, but
yeah,
that's...
No, she kind of does.
I mean, essentially, yeah. But it means that they win. Like, that was the swing vote, apparently. And so it means maybe she's going to go to Washington. Again, big old air quotes around Washington. And so Dean asks her, like, "This means you're going." And she said, "Oh, no, like, I'll have to look into it." Lots of things to think about, essentially.
I will say mm-hmm. Dean looks dismayed, but he's not like, "Oh, woe is me. How dare you leave me?"
Yeah.
That he would have done last
like,
season.
He's very like, "Oh, I'm not going to see you for 6 weeks."
He looks
weeks.
Like
Bummer.
A normal boyfriend. Dean has been possessed by the spirit of a normal boyfriend this episode and has normal reactions.
Probably because Jess is gone.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have anything to worry about. It's all good.
Well, Lorelai comes over, does her little drunken whatever she says, and then walks away and Christopher comes, right? And immediately they're all over each other.
Yeah.
And Rory is supposedly, what, 10 feet away?
Yeah.
Basically.
She's like, "Oh, don't look at me like that. People are going to know we slept together." And then he just... kisses her in front of everybody, which, whatever. Like,
but he kisses her in such a way.
It's very aggressive and possessive.
Yeah.
Have Lorelai and Rory had that conversation yet?
Is this
Rory's first inkling of anything happening?
We don't get any reaction.
I mean, she knows. Later on when Rory and Chris are talking,
it's kind of implied hinted. That she already knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, do you think Lorelai would tell Rory that they slept together?
I think it would have been like, "Hey, me and your dad are getting back together."
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Well, regardless, Chris wants reassurance, and Lorelai is so happy to give it to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they get interrupted by Emily and Richard.
The Gilmores are here.
Of course they're here. They got invited.
Very nice of them, to be honest. Yeah. You know, they showed up to a week early pity invite.
It's called rising above it.
Yeah. Which, and then Lorelai says something about coming back down. It's just like a very good comedy moment between the two of them where they're mm-hmm. kind of being friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the men go off to get drinks, and Lorelai and Emily are left alone. And my God, Emily looks
so excited. She's stunning.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, she amazing.
Immediately picks up on the way that Chris is present. Chris is interacting mm-hmm. with Lorelai, and she is
They are very close together.
So excited about, because Lorelai can't come out to her mom and say, Chris and I got back together, because they don't have that relationship. There's not that level of trust. But she can say he's going to be visiting his daughter a lot more often. Mm-hmm. And Emily absolutely understands what that means. And this is what Emily's been waiting to hear for 16 years.
Yeah. And I think this does show you the motivation for later on how she acts mm-hmm. In season 5. Not to excuse her, because Emily does not get an excuse for that. But Emily has definitely...
Look at these smiles.
Yeah.
They're so happy.
She
definitely loves the idea of Lorelai and Christopher.
This moment, the well, I'll be damned moment, is such a beautiful, positive moment between these women. She is, like, toothily grinning. And Chris ruins it.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
So Kirk does sing. I love that Lane is in the background drumming.
With her drums?
Yeah, we didn't get Lane in this episode, so it was nice to see her.
Yeah, and I mean, between Lane's...
We see her at the rehearsal dinner, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just in the background.
Between Lane's dress and her drumsticks, I have to imagine that Mrs. Kim was not invited to the wedding.
Right?
Yes. Because Lane, I'm just going to mention it really quickly. So she is wearing a quite deep-cut light blue dress with, like, a bright aqua cardigan over it. But there's, like, a solid amount of cleavage. I would say way more cleavage than Mama Kim would be okay with.
I'm going to say Mama Kim and Lane both got invited, but maybe Mama Kim had plans or had to run the shop or something and just let Lane go on her own.
Maybe. Well, we cut over to Chris and Rory, and this is the part that makes me sad, is Rory and Chris's interaction. Because Rory is straight up, like, what are your intentions? What do you want to do with my mom? Are you for real? Because this is going to hurt if you're not.
She tells him exactly what the results will be if he walks away.
Yeah.
And guess what? He walks away because he gets a phone call. And in his place, we get the second jump scare of the episode, also Jess.
So, do you guys remember all the way back, the Bracebridge dinner, when Jess leapt out of the bushes into the carriage?
And that was dives.
We didn't realize then, but it was the first of many. Here he is again, kind of leaping out of the trees, and here he is. Gosh.
Guys, it's such a beautiful scene.
This is a dream come true. This is what every teenage girl fantasizes about.
Right?
She's all dressed up for a big, beautiful event, and then the boy that she has a crush on, but who shouldn't be there, arrives.
Is there. Yeah. And there's flowers everywhere. It's so green. The water's, like, that is a dream. Oh. And... do you think she looks shocked to see him? I kind of got vibes, the same vibes that, like, Luke, when he just walks in and just sees him and it's like, okay, Jess is here.
I think her initial reaction is a little bit of, like, almost fear. Like, at least in her face, there's just, like, this, what are you doing here? Because I think she knows the implications.
Well, she actually
knows what's
going
to happen.
She thinks that something bad happened.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, their conversation is... very brief.
Yeah, I mean...
before she lunges at him.
She's overwhelmed with emotion, I think.
Yeah, she can't help herself. She is so attracted to him, and here he is, showing up like a dream in this beautiful place, in this beautiful setting. And this would be a really beautiful moment had we not just seen her blissfully happy with Dean, like, minutes ago.
Like, I can't understate. He looks so soft in this moment.
Yeah.
Right? Her boyfriend is literally probably feet away. Like, you can see the chairs.
If he looked in the direction, he could probably see them.
You can see the chairs.
Like, you can...
And her dad is, like...
Her dad is right there,
too.
So, like, I love... And I know Alexis gets a lot of hate that she's not a great actor, doesn't show emotion or whatever. This scene, I feel like, disproves all of that right there. Because you can just see, like, the inner struggle on her face.
Yeah. I think she does a great job, yeah.
She does a fantastic job here. Like, I love the expressions on her face that's going across. Like, she's happy that he's back, but she also is terrified because she knows this is the end.
And it's a great kiss.
Opposite.
It is a great kiss.
He is so into it, first off.
He's soft. He's happy. It's like, I'm back.
Yeah. He's lit very well.
He kisses her back immediately.
Oh, yeah. And their kiss is immediately, like, 10 times more interesting to watch and passionate than any kiss we've ever seen with Dean. Even when they were like,
oh my God,
making out. Like, this kiss.
This is chemistry.
This is what that song is written about. Is that what? Is it Shania? This kiss. This kiss.
Oh, yeah. Shania Twain.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's what this song is about. You know, this kind of moment. Except for.
Was it Faith Hill?
Normally.
She's cheating on her boyfriend.
It doesn't end with splitting apart and being like, oh my God.
Right.
It doesn't end with her going back and be like, I gotta go talk to Dean, of like, I wasn't expecting this, let me go clean it up. It's, don't tell anybody, and she sprints away.
And welcome back.
Home. Yep.
Yeah, welcome home. And she sprints away, and this is her second time, no, her third time? Her third time. Dean, Tristan, now Jess, that she runs away after a kiss. Rory's a runner, guys.
She's a runner, she's a track star. TikTok, where you
and,
at?
Like, Jess gets this kind of little smile on his face because he just kissed the girl that he's basically in love with.
Not even that. The girl kissed him.
Yeah.
This is, like, almost a Breakfast Club moment. This is almost like a fist in the air, I had her once moment. You know, like, he has overcome the obstacle. However, the obstacle is still very present.
He's still, like, 6'4", and he's, like, over there.
Yeah.
Guys, this is the
And then Chris comes back.
Worst scene of this episode. Chris comes back, and he just says, like, oh, I have to go. I have things coming. And he was going to leave. He was going to leave. But she stopped him.
And drags it out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, Sherry's back. Oh, you're going to have the breakup?
Like, so sweet and naive to even immediately go to that. And I know that Lorelai is supposed to be clearly a little tipsy. She's super, like, hopped up on all the wedding energy. But to immediately be like, oh, you're going home. You're going to tell her you're moving out. Sweet baby, no. He's never going home to tell her he's moving out.
And he finally explains Sherry's pregnant. And he missed it the first time with Rory.
And apparently, Chris cannot be a dad if he's not in a relationship with you.
I'm, like, almost getting teary-eyed thinking about it, because I love these characters so much. And, like, you have to know Lorelai is devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate Chris so much because he specifically says, I'm not gonna miss it. I can only be a dad if I'm in a relationship with the mom. That's what he tells her.
Yeah.
This is the episode
that's
that changes
what he does.
Chris for me.
Yeah.
I will never, ever be able to look at Chris, even in his great moments, the same.
Mm-hmm. No, this is like such an awful moment. And it's a situation where Lorelai immediately sobers up and is like, okay, well, drive safe. And then Chris has the gall to call her on that. Chris, you don't get
Chris is looking for sympathy at this point.
No.
He is looking for her to give him sympathy because he has to stay with his knocked up girlfriend from the woman you just slept
and
with.
Essentially made a commitment
to. Who raised your child.
From the woman who has your daughter. Like, and then.
What the hell?
And then the kicker. Tell Rory. He doesn't even have the balls to tell his own daughter. He is a fucking asshole. How dare you? How dare you?
Well, he did just tell Lorelai, I can't be a dad if I'm not with you.
So he's relinquishing dad rights. No, I, like, There is something so crushing about Lorelai telling Chris congratulations. She doesn't owe him that. He doesn't deserve that. He was essentially, in this moment, an unwitting sperm donor.
And I almost wish that's all he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't wait for that conversation between him and Rory in the Yale years, where she tells him, like, stop. Because he deserved that conversation, like, a year ago.
Yeah.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Chris.
Dislike Christopher so much.
Push him in the lake.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly.
Wait, hold on.
And, yeah.
Can we two pies Christopher?
Ooh, God, yes. Yes,
definitely.
Like, can we triple two pies Christopher?
Everyone all pies. Pies. He 100% deserves a pie. I'm writing this down.
Yeah. Yep. Because this is so, so awful. It's unforgivable. And yet. And it leads us to the final moments, the final bits of season two, the final bits of this episode. We do get to see Jackson walk on in his kilt, which we'll talk about it in fashion, but I'll say, I think he looks dashing. I wouldn't suspect that it was last minute if I was at that wedding.
No. And he doesn't look bad.
No.
Like, he doesn't look great. Or comical.
No.
Or, like, they were trying to do anything. No, he looks good. We cut over to Rory, who's running in, out of breath.
She's right? just been smooching in the trees.
Yeah. Lorelai looks heartbroken.
We do see, before we get to them, the huppah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The huppah's getting used. Yay.
Yeah. And you're right. The officiant does have a shirt of
Cynthia Jackson.
Of them. It's the same one that's on the pillows inside.
Look at Lorelai's face. That is Lauren.
She's heartbroken.
That's amazing acting from Lauren.
Oh, my God. Like, it's so real.
Yeah. It's both of them have just had their dreams and plans destroyed in one way or another.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
Rory ends the episode with, I'm gonna go to D.C. for the summer.
I'm going to Washington.
Mm-hmm. And Lorelai just nods.
10 minutes before, she was telling Dean, well, I'll figure it out. We don't know. We might not be going.
I mean, if Lorelai would have been in a right state of mind, not just, like, completely devastated, she would have picked up on it. Mm-hmm. But
oh, yeah.
She's not.
Gosh.
Oof, what an episode, guys.
Rory runs from Jess and also runs from Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rory has to
run from everyone
so that she doesn't continue to cheat.
Rory Gilmore, why are you such a cheater?
You're supposed to be a good person.
Well, hey, that's the end of the episode. And speaking of good
the end of the season.
Person.
Yeah.
La 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 la.
Do we have a townsperson?
Yeah, we have to pick our townsperson of the week.
I do.
I have two. But they're controversial, and I will be shot down. My first one is Paris. For doing her speech, she won, blah, blah, blah. My second one is Jess, for coming back.
But he also is complicit in cheating.
Hey, he's not married to Dean.
But he knows they're together.
I understand. Okay, I said it was controversial.
Emily, who do you have?
Can we have a towns couple of the week?
Oh, yeah.
Suki and Jackson?
I believe they won it together
as a couple
before. Right?
Before.
They have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if I had to pick.
I'd say, if anything, Suki.
Yeah, if I had to pick one, it would be Suki. Mostly because none of our other side characters got, like, any action. You know, I don't think Emily.
Not like Lorelai.
Deserved
did.
It. Yeah. Chris just, certainly
like,
doesn't.
Suki is clearly the chillest bride ever. Like, she has one freak out in the middle of the night. And, like, other than that, she's like, it's going to be gorgeous. Let's just go with the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's give it a Suki and Jackson. I mean, it's their wedding day.
Yes.
We don't,
I mean,
we
Jess,
don't get
did you
to
have
see
any,
the wedding, but
anything else? Anybody?
No, I was going to say Suki. I think Suki, one, super chill bride. Two, this is kind of her episode, even though it's totally not about her. And then, you know, Jackson, I could take or leave because, yeah, he wore the kilt, but he was weird about it. I don't know. Suki, congrats, girl.
Yes. I'd say she's also a really good friend to Lorelai in this episode, too.
On the night before her wedding, which is, like, supposed to be her day. So, yeah.
Like, I could totally see any other woman being like, I love you, and we will talk about this in depth, but, like, I'm getting married tomorrow, and I need to focus on me. Obviously, Suki needed a distraction. Yes.
Well, congrats, Suki, and possibly Jackson. Let's say Suki.
Yeah.
On Town Person of the Week. Congratulations on your wedding. It's very beautiful, even though the colors are confusing the hell out of me.
Unknown.
And up next, we have References with Sandra.
Weekly References with Sandra. Weekly References with Sandra.
Guys, for the season 2 finale, there were a ton of references, like a crazy amount, and there was one scene that had 3 back-to-back references, and I didn't know any of them, so I needed to, like, search them. And it's when Paris makes her speech and approaches Rory, who's writing in the crowd, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, first off, Paris is, like, insistent to, she wants to know what's going to be written, and almost, like, it almost feels like she wants to know what's going to be written so it could be changed. And Rory tells her, go away, Randolph.
Yep.
This is a reference to William Randolph Hearst, an American businessman and newspaper publisher. So think Mitchum Hunsberger, but like 10 times bigger.
Real?
Yeah. Okay. And back in the day, he made up stories. He would just straight up exaggerate, skew, or fake stories, also known as yellow journalism. And he's very much known for that. He's also, like, the inventor slash the reason why media is sensational stories, right?
Thanks, dude.
So that's, yeah. So Rory, in this instance, is comparing Paris to this man, which is funny because, like I said before, Paris is literally the editor of this paper.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, she would have power over Rory's column. So, good reference. My next reference comes in within minutes of the first, where Louise and Madeline come in complaining about interviewing people that they should never have even had to stand near. And Madeline says, the hairstyles alone prove the Farley brothers are not making this stuff up. Either of you guys know what that means?
The only Farley I know of is Chris Farley.
That's the only one I know.
No, not quite. But it might just be that we're a little bit too young. So the Farley brothers are like the Duffer brothers or the Russo brothers. They are a writing and directing duo.
Oh.
And they very specifically did Dumb and Dumber and There's Something About Mary, both of which had characters that had interesting hairdos for one reason or another. So that's what Louise is talking about.
Interesting.
My last reference is when Rory was like, you didn't think you could just be nice to people? And Paris says, see, that's exactly what I need from you. Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm for the new millennium. Any of you guys know what Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm is?
Sunnybrook Farm sounds familiar, but I don't know why.
So Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm is a 1903 children's novel by Kate Douglas Wiggin about a girl named Rebecca Rowena Randall and her aunts, One Stern, One Kind, and the fictional village of Riverboro, that is set in Maine, that they live in. So Rebecca was noted for having this great joy that inspired people around her, even in the face of hardship. She was always happy. The book also heavily focuses on the townies, as well as Rebecca. So most of the book is actually about the people that live near her as well. And much like Anne of Green Gables, there is a sequel to the book of her grown up, and later on, Wiggins' grandnephew, Eric Wiggins, also wrote several stories about her. So they, like, portrayed her whole life in these stories. But the original story was adapted for theater and also filmed 3 separate times, with the most famous one, Shirley Temple, was Rebecca. So I think it's just called Rebecca of Storybrook Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley Temple, of course, was the little girl that, like, was in every movie in
the ringlets.
Yeah. So most of the scene in question between Rory and the children girls, I was a little bit lost. So if anyone else was a little bit lost, I hope that cleared up a little bit of that mess.
I remember when I was watching this episode, I was thinking, like, especially during that scene, man, I hope Sandra does at least one of these references.
It was just back to back to back where I was like, I don't know any of these. I know Sharon Stone.
Yeah, that was about it.
But yeah, those were my references. But after references, we have a song with Emily.
Books, movies, and music with Emily.
I bet y'all can't guess what song we're doing today. Suki walks down the aisle to I Can't Get Started, appropriately named, also the name of this episode. So I Can't Get Started was written in 1936 by Vernon Duke and Ira Gershwin. And it was recorded and performed by Bob Hope and Eve Arden that year. It reached 14th place on the recording charts with Bunny Berrigan's 1937 version. It was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1975. So 40 years after it was written. Wow. There have been at least 21 different versions of this song.
Sounds about right.
Those are just the ones listed on its Wikipedia page. So the song was, in this episode, it was the version performed by Ella Fitzgerald, who honestly, we all know has a gorgeous voice.
Yeah.
So she was born in April 1917, passed away in June of 1996. She was a jazz singer, sometimes referred to as the First Lady of Song, Queen of Jazz, and Lady Ella. And she was noted for her purity of tone, impeccable diction, phrasing, timing, intonation, basically having a friggin' gorgeous voice. One of her notable connections was with Marilyn Monroe. So Marilyn Monroe loved her, and she really wanted to see her play at the Mocambo nightclub in Hollywood.
Yeah, I've heard about this, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they tried to, like, not let her play because she was black, mm-hmm. So clearly a race thing, and Marilyn Monroe lobbied the owner for the booking. Bonnie Greer dramatized the incident as the musical drama Marilyn and Ella, and that was in 2008 that came out. Ella Fitzgerald was the first black performer to play at that club because of Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, wow, nice.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. She's not. Herb Jeffries, Eartha Kitt, and Joyce Bryant all played before that. It's a common legend, I guess. Yeah, a common misconception that she was the first.
I was going to be like, she also sang at last, but that's Etta James, so I'm just confusing everyone.
Yeah.
I know, I was just about to, like, look up her other songs, but
she does have some wonderful songs. Dream a Little Dream of Me.
Oh, I love that one.
Cheek to Cheek. It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. And Into Each Life Some Rain Must Fall. A fun fact, she won the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Along with her 14 Grammy Awards.
If anyone watches Stranger Things, no spoilers, but the song that plays during a specific part was her. It was her. It was not Billie Holiday.
Oh. Yes.
And it was okay. Dream a Little Dream of Me. That's why I remember.
Which is a great song, and I could also see that being a little bit more romantic than the one that Suki mm-hmm. picks. But it's Suki's mm-hmm. wedding, it's a beautiful song, and we all
yes.
appreciate it.
So, that was a little bit about I Can't Get Started and Miss Ella Fitzgerald, the First Lady of Song. After that, we have Fashion with Jess.
Making fashion choices, making fashion choices with Jess.
So, there are a few normal outfits in this episode that stood out as pretty good to me, but I do want to make the focus kind of the wedding attire. But I do want to quickly shout out that the first outfit we see Lorelai in at the inn, which is a kind of more subdued blue-gray floral dress with a bright blue sweater over it, very pretty. Mm-hmm. I kind of don't think it's appropriate for work, so I'm assuming that she's not working at this time. Michelle is in a full suit.
I don't think she is. I think she's there as
the maid of honor. Okay. I was just like,
I feel like if she closed the card again, yeah, it would be totally fine. But, like, it's kind of pulled back. The sleevelessness, the spaghetti straps are exposed.
Yeah. And, I mean, Lauren gets away with a lot of things that might not be super work appropriate because she pulls them off so well. But I love that dress, and I needed to shout it out. I do have a worst dressed. I have a strong...
Please tell me it's Lorelai's pajamas.
No, it's not, because they're pajamas. Chris, when he arrives at the doctor's office...
Oh my gosh.
...is so terrible. I was instantly like, what is he wearing? It's so oversized. So Chris is wearing, like, a blue checkered shirt and khakis, and they are both so oversized on him and so sloppy. He looks like a frat boy who stayed at somebody else's house, and then he had to, like, throw on somebody's oversized clothes to get to class the next day. I hate
his look on him.
He reminded
me of season one Dean.
Yeah, just too big, too baggy. Mm-hmm. He is my worst dressed. He is the worst person in the world. Moving on.
Dean at least has the excuse of, like, a teenager still trying to grow into his body.
Absolutely. I will mention quickly Lorelai's rehearsal dress, which is just different. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It's a black and white dress, but it's got kind of an asymmetric chest thing going on where there's a white portion underneath and a black portion over top that kind of creates like a three-dimensional pop. A little bit weird, a little bit more fashion-y, I say with big air quotes, than we see Lorelai wear. It feels a little more avant-garde.
I think it's supposed to be like a flower.
But
or
it's like
dragonfly, maybe?
It's clearly two separate pieces because when we see her leaning up against the wall, you can see there's dimension.
The fabric.
And there's like separation between the layers. It's interesting. It's whatever. But the real stars of the show is the wedding attire. We already touched on Jackson. Jackson, when he actually is at the wedding, he is wearing the kilt that his father gave him, along with kind of a studded tuxedo jacket. It's got like kind of big silver studs on it, and it's got long tails. And
I could be completely wrong. I think that goes along with a Scottish attire.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's a whole combo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think he looks great. Like, if he hadn't thrown a fit about the kilt, I would have assumed this was the plan the whole time.
Yeah.
So then let's talk about the bridesmaids' dresses. Now, Lorelai designed and created these bridesmaids' dresses, which in some ways, like in canon, that makes me forgive that they fit a little weird and they're like the least flattering fabric ever. But when I think about the fact that a costume designer definitely made these, there's just some kind of like unforgivable little errors. So let's start with Rory's dress. Rory's dress is a knee-length dark teal with a cowl neck, and it's got ruched sides. And it's got some of those little ribbon roses at the hip. It's a very interesting combination of things. And the other thing is that the fit is just ever so slightly off, where it wrinkles weird. It's one of those fabrics, it's that satin fabric that, like, it shows every lump and bump and wrinkle and ridge. And it's clear that Alexis is not wearing a bra in this scene. And I think it's because if she had worn a bra, you would have seen it. Clearly.
Yeah.
Like, you would have seen the outline of it, you would have seen the back, even if it was strapless. Like, the only thing she maybe could have used in this is, like, stick-on pasties, which I don't think were as much of a thing.
I was gonna say,
early
2000s.
Yeah. So, I don't love it. The cowl neck, I feel like, ages this dress. It makes it look more mother of the bride than fresh young teenage bridesmaid. What do you guys think about Rory's dress?
Okay, I like Rory's dress more than Lorelai's dress,
but
that's not saying much. Let's put it that way.
I feel like Rory's dress is more forgiving than Lorelai's dress.
Yes.
It's not as skin tight because of, like, the bunch sides and the ruching on the sides.
And also her hair, like, works well.
Kind of helps hide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, where the side is, especially where they have, like, the little flowers on her hip, like, the dress itself gathers weird there.
I almost feel like the flowers, because the flowers are not on Lorelai's dress, I almost feel like there was some kind of thing that happened to the dress and they covered it up with flowers.
Maybe they were trying to hide the scrunching?
Like, it's just, Because it's clearly, it's supposed to be ruched, at least on that one side. Mm-hmm. But then the flowers are just weird on the one hip. I don't love it. Okay. And
what I will say about this dress, it looks handmade.
It does. It looks handmade. And I mean, I have essentially the same complaint in that regard that I did about Rory's dance dress, where it was very pretty, but like also there was just some things that were off, and they're handmade. I say it with, again, big air quotes. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Lorelai. So Lorelai, her dress is calf length in the same dark teal. It's got spaghetti straps. It's got kind of like almost a scoop or boat neck. It's very deep. It's very wide with a little bit of a cowl. And there is just the weirdest. It's not a seam across her bust. It's a layer of fabric.
It's like beneath the mane. They tried to put in one of those like built-in bras.
Yeah.
And it ended in the wrong spot. But like that can't make sense because there's only like 2 inches.
It almost looks like the dress was first see-through, and so they try to fix it by putting something underneath. But it just looks
bad. Alexis's dress is like forgiving in that there's enough fabric that you can almost not tell that she's not wearing a bra. That wouldn't work with Lauren's dress because it's so fitted. Mm-hmm. It looks like they shoved another layer of fabric down in there. Or it looks like there's a fold over flap on the inside of the front of the dress. It's so distracting as soon as you see it.
And there's something like poking out.
Yeah.
And it clearly cannot be a body part because it's too far. It's too close to the middle to be, you know.
Yeah. If you're listening to us and you're like, I remember they looked so nice at the wedding, please just go back and just look at that seam.
If you do not examine it and just look and move on, they look great.
Right? But it's just when you start looking at the details of this dress that I'm just like, oof.
And then she turns around.
Yeah.
And you see the back of it.
Again.
And you can tell how tight it's pulled.
It's very tight. The fit is kind of weird. You can see her underwear, which I am starting to try to move away from being scared of the VPL. I grew up during this time period. Visible panty line is the last thing on earth that you want. But you know what? I do wear big underwear, and they're comfortable. They're cotton, and they come in a 5-pack.
I love my granny panties. Leave me alone.
And sometimes I like to wear pants that are tight and underwear that are big, and sometimes you can see them, and I'm trying to, like, not die of shame every time I see that. However, in this particular instance...
You are not on a TV show.
No, I'm not. And I'm not in a formal dress.
You're not at a wedding.
Exactly. You can see her underwear, and it just, overall, it was like a swing and a miss for me. I understand, but it was not executed correctly.
Hold on. Does this woman have white on at a wedding?
She does.
Oh, no.
There's just this a random cardinal guest sin. In the background who is wearing a white dress.
Yikes.
No. And do you guys remember the twins' wedding? There was like a mother of the bride or something wearing white and another random woman wearing like almost
Did
a wedding
forget?
Dress.
Well,
and like
I don't know. I think they get confused.
Lane's dress is a very light blue, light enough to the point that I would think before I wore it to a wedding.
In this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's got the blue cardigan on, but her dress itself is a very light blue that could show up white in pictures.
Oh, there's another white person. Another person in white.
There's a lot of white people at this wedding, let's be honest.
There's a lot of white people.
So one thing is, blue. When you are...
That's pretty solidly blue and then, like, gray
the
on bottom
the bottom is a little...
Yeah. The bottom is...
But having the blue on top.
The idea is that if there is a bunch of pictures of the group and the bride, you don't want your outfit to stand out as much as the bride's does. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have failed in that regards. Anyway, we have roasted these girls. They're definitely not my worst dressed. Chris is forever my worst dressed. But let's... like, give some big props to the bride. We only see Suki's wedding dress in the context of her kitchen freakout, but her dress is extremely unique, and I think that it is, in that regard, it is very Suki. So, Suki's wedding dress is a two-piece system. It consists of what I'm going to call, and I did a lot of research, I'm going to call a bone-colored halter neck dress that is very simple. And over it, she has what I'm calling an overdress, which is a three-dimensional, full-length lace topper. It buttons under the bust with a single button, and it has really beautiful long bell sleeves. And it's got these little three-dimensional flowers that pop off all over, like, so it creates this kind of, like, motif of flowers throughout. And then she's got a veil, and it's a headband veil. So it's got a big wide headband, and then the veil comes off of it. I have seen a lot of people on the internet who don't like Suki's dress. That's fine. Sometimes I don't like things that you like. I think this is very Suki.
I do too. I do think they could have found a dress that suited her body type just a little bit better. That being said, she looks gorgeous.
It's hard to kind of see what the fit actually is because the apron's tied over it and might be messing the fit up.
And she does take it off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does take it off. And that's when you can see that the overdress, you know, it comes to a closure under her bust and then it opens wide again.
It reminds me very much of the sweater, the long sweaters that she wears. Like, I think specifically absolutely. Like that purple one. It reminds me a lot, yes. And that's why I think it is so much her.
Yeah. One of the biggest complaints I've seen people make is that her sleeves are so long and so oversized. And I think for this particular bride, yeah, she's a chef. You cannot keep her out of the kitchen. And that's going to be a pain. But the thing that I really like about this dress is I love the idea of having a ceremony look and a reception look. This dress makes that so easy, right? You wear this for the ceremony. You look beautiful. You take all your pictures. And then when you just want to dance and have a great time, you take that over layer off. And she just got a really simple white halter neck dress on.
I'm not a big fan of the veil.
I don't like headband veils.
No.
It feels
And I wish it was the same color as her dress, because the white also, with the like beige color is just...
Yeah.
Doesn't match.
I think that the veil matches the topper, but like, so when I call it bone, I looked at a lot of different pictures, tried to figure out what color her dress was. Mm-hmm. It's not an eggshell. It's not an off-white. It's not a pure white. It's almost into a tan. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how deep the tone is. Very pretty on her skin. Very pretty with her red hair. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird mix. It works. Yeah. It works for Suki.
Either way, I think she looks great.
She does.
She looks incredible. She is my best dressed because it's her wedding, and that's what you do on the day of the bride's wedding. You tell her she's the best dressed. Mm-hmm. So congratulations, Suki. Boo, Chris. Nothing to steal in this episode.
I really want Rory's Stranger 13 shirt. I just really liked it.
But is there an Emily the Strange
reference?
I
was just wondering that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a goth girl at heart, so like that's... That's perfect for me.
Well, that was my extended fashion recap, but it was a special day. After fashion, we have Stars Hollow Speaks. All right, so we're going to start with some comments we got on our last episode, which is not the little bonus mini episode where we announced our Remarkist watch party, but the one before. And we had from To Earth from Pluto, who said, I love Lorelai's graduation day for all the reasons stated in the podcast, but also for how cleverly they recreated the graduation day that should have been. Rory is non-existent, Chris is the dutiful boyfriend, Suki is the cheerful best friend, and Emily and Richard are the proud parents. It's just impressive storytelling to me. When I read this comment, I was like,
holy crap,
that is so spot on and clever.
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
I thought the same
thing. So, excellent, excellent point. I love that. And then we also had a comment from Zephron's Ninja, who said, also, we have a Washington Square Park over here in my hometown, West Coast in North Cal. So, Washington Square Park's all over the place.
Jess, who kept saying Washington State Park? Was it me? Because I'm going to be really embarrassed.
I think it was both of you, because I never said it. I never said the words. It was both, which I thought was very funny.
Whatever. I'm from New Jersey, not New York. I'm from
New Jersey. West Coast, best coast. And also, during the same week that we released that, we also shared some pictures of ourselves as graduates, and we invited you guys to send your pictures, and a couple of you did. So I want to thank Zephron's Ninja and also Gabriella. We loved seeing your graduation pictures. You guys both looked amazing. And of course, we're all long graduated at this point, but it's fun to look back. So thank you for your comments, and thank you for your pictures.
So moving on to this episode, we got, let's say, a couple comments about Christopher. So first up, we have Lisa, who said very astutely, "You can be a father without being married to the kid's mom, Chris. I mean, I know he can't be theoretically. It's possible. It's very possible. In some cases, better. I want to say it's better for Lorelai in the end, but maybe if the Chris-Lore cringe relationship happened here, we wouldn't have had to suffer through the first half of season 7. Both Lorelai and Rory needed some work on actually moving on from their first loves, rather than dragging them into a slow and torturous demise. Yikes, yeah. Maybe part of the reason Lorelai has problems advising Rory to break up with Dean." And that's a good point. Like,
yeah.
Those first loves, especially to Lorelai, mean so much. Mm-hmm. And to Rory.
I mean, there's something always special about your first love.
Dean doesn't even make a blip in Rory's life later on. Like, truly, after they break up, and even in the revival, it was just kind of like, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not like Chris and Lorelai.
No.
But yeah, no, Lisa, I completely understand where you're coming from. There was a lot of ways that Chris could have handled that.
Almost all of them would have been better.
Pretty much. We also got some comments from C. Renee, who said that they wish they had seen Suki and Jackson's wedding. I'm sure their vows were wacky and sweet. You know, I'm really sad we didn't get to see their wedding, too.
Like, yeah.
I would have loved to see their wedding. I bet they did traditional wedding vows, though.
Yeah? I don't know. He had a bunch of bananas.
He did have a bunch of bananas. Their priest did have a t-shirt with their faces on them.
Yeah. And so apparently did the caterers or the workers.
A couple of the caterers did. It was a weird mix.
I don't know if like doing your own vows was a thing at this time. I don't know, honestly.
I don't know.
I think people have.
I think so.
Okay.
Especially non-traditional couples. Yeah. Not that they're non-traditional, but.
I was 11 years old, so I have no
idea. Yeah, exactly.
So we also got a comment from Susanna about Lorelai. So she said she didn't like Lorelai's hair for the wedding. It just seemed too simple. I agree. I think Rory's hair was a little bit better. It just wasn't it for Lorelai and Rory this episode, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, this was the time when, like, stick straight hair was super in fashion.
I'm so excited for season 3. I keep looking at the promo photos. Season 3 is some of the best Lorelai hair. We're going to get there.
And finally, we did ask you guys for your opinion on the season 2 finale about the kiss. Thoughts on Chris. And then just in general, thoughts on the episode. And we did get a really good amount of responses. Lisa says, "I want to love that kiss, but Rory, girl, you still have a boyfriend. One who is currently dressed in a suit to be your date for the wedding you are in." She continues to say, "Season 3 should have opened with Rory single in DC." Hard agree.
Yeah,
agreed.
Yeah, that would have been so much better. So Andy Lyons says, "Just watched it. Rory is so wrong for kissing Jess. Chris and Lorelai look great together."
Agree to disagree.
I mean, as much as we hate Chris,
I mean, yeah, they're beautiful,
look beautiful together.
They're beautiful couple.
And I hate it.
I agree.
C. Renee does say it was a good kiss.
A lot of crying movies.
Yes. And then Ellen says, "I think this is a top tier finale. Brings your emotions up only to end in chaos and heartbreak. Anyways, Rory Def cheated on Dean, and I think this is the moment she finally accepts her feelings. That doesn't mean she dealt with them appropriately, but at least she did something. Also, what the F, Chris?" And just so we're clear, she did not say that.
She used all four letters.
I feel that.
So thank you for all, like, I feel like we had a lot over these past couple of weeks, just because it's been so long since we actually recorded, it feels like.
And we got a special like, and I mean, for anyone who didn't listen to the bonus episode, just know that we're kind of famous now.
Yeah, so hopefully some of you tuned into our Remarkist watch party, which when you're listening will have happened the night before. Yes, at this point, we still don't know if we're going to be able to share any of that audio with you. We will if we can. But we shared a post about partnering with Remarkist for the watch party. And an actor from the original series did like it, Mr. Mike Gandolfi, which I think I may have said Gandolfini last time. No, Mike Gandolfi, who we know and love as Andrew, the lovable bookshop owner of Stars Hollow. He knows we exist.
I did the same thing on the announcement. I just kind of screamed into the mic. But, like, how freaking cool is that?
Like, even if he doesn't know that, like, me, Jess, the individual exists, he knows our podcast exists, and that's pretty cool.
Right?
It is. And I mean, I think technically Brian...
Yes!
Brian Cabrera would have to...
Also, John Cabrera, yeah. Who played...
John Cabrera.
Brian.
Brian. Yes. I said Brian Cabrera.
Let's restart
John Cabrera
that.
Is his actual name. Okay.
And I think that John Cabrera, who plays Brian from Hep Alien, also kind of knows who we are,
yes,
too, right?
He was the creator of Remarkist. So I don't know how much say he had in who got invited, but...
I mean, we are getting to townies. It's all I ever wanted.
Yeah.
Remarkist posted, like, a half hour ago from where we are, Emily Kuroda is going to be on their June 9th episode. So, like, they're doing a whole month-long watch party?
Yeah, it was a month-long.
And they will have, from what they told us, 30-plus stars and crew from the show. So, like, holy freaking crap.
So even if you've missed all of our other announcements up to this point, there is still Remarkist content that you can tune into.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But guys, we're done with season 2.
No, we're not.
No?
Coffee?
Coffee.
For the episode.
I feel like I know the count.
So close.
Ooh, you guys want to guess?
I think that the only coffee that is had is Rory had one cup at the diner.
That's what...
Oh no.
I'm sorry. Lorelai and Rory have coffee in the
at
morning.
Home.
Shoot.
Yeah.
So... I would have said the same thing, Jess.
Lorelai had one cup of coffee, Rory had two cups of coffee. So,
well, coffee is almost exclusively done at Luke's.
Yes.
So I feel like
Lorelai is kind of avoiding Luke's right now, so
right.
It makes sense. But yeah, that's the end of coffee for this episode. We got coffee back a little bit.
A little tiny
bit, yeah.
Yeah.
At least we didn't end on a dry spell.
Exactly. Okay, so now I can say season 2.
Yes,
is
now
done.
You can
say guys, season 2 is done, and I am so excited, but also I'm so proud of us, because, like, not to get too deep or anything, but, like, we've each had shit happen, right?
Yeah.
And we have stuck with it. Like, we are 2 seasons in, and we don't have a team behind us.
No, it is literally just the 3 of us. Just to throw, I mean, I don't, like Sandra said, I don't want to get too deep, but we don't have extra people helping us. Like, we take turns editing the episodes. We do everything. So your support truly means all the world.
Yes, and so...
And the fact that we're still going is quite amazing.
Here at the end of the second season, let's throw out the pitch one more time. If you are interested, if you're enjoying our content, which we sure hope you are, we would love for you to review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can leave reviews. It's a really great way to get us out there. If you have a couple bucks that you would like to throw our way to help us pay for things like a Zoom subscription, you can do that at buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting. And even just $1 or $2 a month helps out. So thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you've listened to all of our episodes up to this point.
Special shout out to Ellen, who has been with us for a while, and just thank you so much. And to all our regulars, like Lisa, Gabby, Zephron's Ninja, Terth from Pluto, like all of you, Clarissa, all of you who have had our back, thank you so much. And anyone who I'm missing, I know you.
It's so funny
Oh, Tayshia.
Oh, yeah, Tayshia.
Tayshia. Kendra.
When we send out these questions, we always kind of know who we're going to hear back from. And you guys, we're like on a first name basis. We're like, oh, did we hear from Zefron's Dinch about that? Oh, did Tirith from Pluto respond? So we love you guys. And hopefully next season, we'll have even another way that maybe you guys can get involved in the podcast. Maybe get your voices heard. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
And just so that we're clear for our schedule, so next week we will be releasing a roundup. We will not be doing four mini episodes. We will be doing an episode-length roundup.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, we are taking our week off. But then in July, we're coming back with season three.
Yay!
Hazy daisy, hazy lazy day of summer.
And man, the production value is up. The hair and makeup budget is up. Like,
season three
steps it up, and I am so excited to jump back in. Yeah, and hey, we're really lingering on this episode, but it's the end of season two. We're waxing poetic. We have also just passed, like yesterday, 30,000 listens. Our podcasts have been listened to 30,000 times. That blows our mind. Thank you so much. If you are somebody who just listens and you don't follow us on Instagram and we don't, you know, hear from you regularly, we love you. We're doing it for you. Thank you for continuing to come back and listen to us and our weird takes and our goofy fashion and our fun music and references. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We couldn't do it without you. If you want to support us, please do. Everything will be at the end of the episode, as always. And to wrap this up before we go even longer, as always, I was Jess.
And I was Sandra.
And I was Emily. We will see you next week.
Next season.
Bye. Hey guys, as always, we love to hear from you. You can reach us on Instagram or Twitter at Town Meeting Pod. Shoot us an email at townmeetingpod@gmail.com, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting. Thanks.